5733 today.
At the top of every show, of course, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. This one, boy, we had to chase him all over Washington, D.C. as he has hovered near his TV set trying to find out what's going on with his beloved Boston Red Sox. Figures the Red Sox would leave it till the end of the season to even get into the playoffs if they make it, and we're not even sure what a setup that is for. The Baz is with us, Ken Bassinet. Ken, are you just like all jittery over what's going on with Boston? Come on, man. How did it get down to this?
No, you know what? The Red Sox are rolling, and I'm going to go tomorrow night. I'm going to bring my St. Christopher's medal, my St. Joseph statue. I'm going to sacrifice a fried chicken. I'm going to do everything that I possibly have to. I'm going to call all my friends in all different religions. And my friends at Shul tomorrow night, make sure that they say a prayer during their holiday. I mean, they're just going to pull out all the punches. The downer, of course, is the Yankees turning into a triple play tonight.
Yeah, of course.
when they could have blown that thing wide open. But, you know, hey, you know what, though? You can't lose your way in the playoffs. You got to win your way in the playoffs. So I don't buy that. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
We need help. You know what I mean? You win. And you set the right pace, and then, you know, you get the postseason, and as you know better than most, you know, because you've covered sports, you know it intimately, you only need a three-person rotation, and you get hot, and you can do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's the way I look at it.
Absolutely. I mean, we could go through all the lineups in history, the rotations, and talk about, you know, Curt Schilling. We can talk about Randy Johnson. We can talk about some of the all-time great pitchers that were at the tail end of their careers and how they pulled it out, and who you want being the person who's got the ball first
to take it. That's it.
Yeah,
yep.
That's it.
Exactly. The only thing that's going to hurt us is Lester going tomorrow. Because of this thing coming down, we have to throw him tomorrow.
Right.
We really needed him to go game two of the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a smoking left-hander, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do at this point. You got to put it together, you know.
Right, to win it flat out.
You know?
Absolutely. Hey,
well, it's just a kid's game played by a bunch of men who make millions of dollars.
No kidding, boy. Don't we all feel a little envious of that? Hey, speaking of a kid's game, politics, there's a lot of similarity, I think, to politics and sports. I say this all the time when I speak to people, because it's the us's and the them's. It's my team and your team. It's really in the last decade or so, even a little bit before that, come down to that sports talk radio is like political talk radio, like news talk radio. And the hottest story going, because of course, what's happening for 2012 on the Republican side of things, is will the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, actually run? Because that rumor all of a sudden circulated. And I'm from Jersey. I know people that know the governor, and when I called them, they said, what are you talking about? There's no way he's doing this. And now you say that you've heard the same thing, that's being those rumors are being doused, and that, in fact, he's not going to run.
First of all, Tom Kaine, the ex-governor, got it all started with a conversation with National Review, conservative online magazine. Basically said, oh, he's reconsidering. Well, that's all about, obviously, there's big Republican fat cat money on the sidelines. The establishment East Coast Republicans, if you will, they haven't started paying their checks yet. They're not convinced that Romney is their guy, and they're pretty sure that Rick Perry isn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the fact of the matter is that's really as much as anything else that's behind this. But just think of the things that, you know, Governor Christie has said, okay, in the past. They make perfect ads. We would see Governor Christie smiling with President Obama when they went toward the flood damage. We would see Governor Christie in ads attacking the right wing over its criticism of Sharia law, as we saw on television. We would see Governor Christie in his own words saying, I'm not going to run because I'm not ready for prime time yet. That isn't an ad that writes itself. That's an ad that's already been recorded for itself, you know? And then you have Governor Christie saying, I put my family first. Yeah, someone actually could make the mistake of making an ad out of that, you know? That's actually a good thing when you put your family first. And then we have Governor Christie criticizing the Tea Party mascot and House GOP leader Eric Cantor, as you recall, for playing politics with the federal disaster aid, suggesting that that should be negotiated, not just handed out as we have done, you know, for the last century. So those ads sort of would rank themselves. And that's why I was suspect from the beginning. I've hit this thing hard all day. I've really been following everything I could. I've made some phone calls. Earlier this afternoon, Governor Christie's brother, Todd Christie, he's a Republican fundraiser, very well connected. Mostly he's connected to his brother, okay? He said, quote, "I'm sure he's not going to run. Quote, if he's lying to me, I'll be as stunned as I've ever been in my life." Well, that was the first knockdown this afternoon. Well, the Newark Star-Ledger, which is on top of this story, I think better than anyone as far as I'm concerned, very good newspaper, I think you know, and yeah. I'll be in a Jersey guy yourself. What they're reporting tonight is that Christie himself told contributors at a political fundraiser in Santa Ana, California, okay, that he is not running for the GOP presidential nomination, okay? Outright, he said it himself, okay? Once again, Christie found himself having to repeat, you know, what he said so many times before. This time it came at a steak dinner for about 40 wealthy donors in Santa Ana, the Newark Star-Ledger reported. Now, here's one thing to keep in mind. Governor Christie is doing that big speech, did that big speech tonight in California at the Reagan Library. Okay, that drew a lot of attention. Because when you go to the Reagan Library, you're there at the invitation of Nancy Reagan. And, you know, when that happens, that is a big deal. People think you're anointed. It means a lot more. You know, the political class of reporters and punditry have always made an awful lot out of that. So that's sort of, you know, that is sort of fuel things as well. But here's what we have to keep in mind. This week, Christie's attending 7 fundraisers in 3 states. So what do you think all this presidential speculation is doing? It's filling the room with donors that he might not otherwise attract, who are all saying, "Hey, if this guy goes, I don't want to miss it."
Exactly.
I'm not saying that he's doing some P.T. Barnum stunt here, okay? All I'm saying is that the fact of the matter is it makes a lot of sense. Governor Christie's raised a lot of money for himself, and he's raised a lot of money for the Republican Party in New Jersey. And they're going to need it, because he's going to have a tough fight when he runs for governor for re-election. And I think that's the fact of the matter. Listen, anything can change, but this is a guy who is known for his blunt, bold, honest statements. And for him to say, "I'm not running for president because I'm not ready for prime time yet," that's a big deal. And I take him at his word.
Yep, I would have to agree. Well, good luck to your Red Sox, Baz, and thanks as always for joining us here on America Tonight.
Pleasure's all mine, as always.
All right, coming up here on America Tonight, let me set the menu for you. Politics and religion, does it mix? And the answer is, I think it does when you have a respected pastor who's asked opinions about what's going on in the world today and thinks that you need to do your homework on who you're going to choose as the person to run the nation. So we're going to talk to Matt Hagee coming up here in a few minutes. You might recognize the name. He is 6th generation, as far as the Hagee family is concerned, to carry the mantle, as they say, in the world of the gospel ministry. And he's got quite a following in San Antonio and beyond the state of Texas. He actually wrote a book that I think is pretty good. I read it in just a few days. It's called Responsible. So he's coming up next. Also, after that, we're going to do a little movie talk as we go to the West Coast. Lion King, naturally, number one at the box office in 3D. That's not
Have
a surprise. That's next. Stay with
use
us.
Use of most prescription drugs?
Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Just finished a great book called Responsible, and the author of that book is Pastor Matt Hege, and just such a great read. You know, with all the time crunches we're all in, it's very hard to sit down and within the course of 2 days finish a book. So to me, in my world, that means this was really good stuff. And as all of you know, I don't push things that I don't like. And there's a number of reasons why this book is a good read. And we've talked about religion and the beating that religion is taking these days due to many of the things that are happening in the world today. So without further ado, Pastor Hege joins us. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you joining us on America Tonight.
And Kate, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
As I said, I really did enjoy reading the book, and you tackled all kinds of things. And what I liked about the book right from the get-go, one of the things that you mentioned at the top is what people worry about, you know, the everyday things. What do you do about the mortgage? What do you do about retirement? What about kids in college? All the things that are weighing on people's shoulders today. Not like they didn't 3 decades ago, but life seems a little bit different from the 70s to where we are now in 2011. And I think that's part of the reason why I said religion is taking a beating, because you got to reach people who are very disillusioned. Do you find that's one of the main things that you find yourself doing, Pastor, trying to really reach out to those people who feel downtrodden and out of it?
Well, absolutely. As a pastor, I'm always reaching out. And doing so in an effort to give people the opportunity to continue to believe. And that basis of belief is really the key ingredient to making a difference at any level. In regards to having a better business, the first thing you need to do is believe that you can. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, you have to believe that your marriage can improve. If you want to see a change for good in the world, and I don't know anybody who doesn't, at least anyone in their right mind. You have to believe that the world is someplace that you can impact and make a difference. And so one of the reasons why I hear the term that religion is taking a beating is because, one, we as religious leaders have forgotten how to inspire people to continue to believe, and, two, we have failed to demonstrate daily relevance in the busy and fast-paced world that we're living in. As you mentioned, people worried about mortgage and worried about college tuition and 401ks that are not even, available as they thought they would be, and all of the myriad of issues that life throws at you these days. And then, three, I think that we have, in some regards, not been as sincere as we need to be about what it means to be a human being and a man and someone who is in desperate need of a merciful God.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about reaching adults, what about the younger set? What about the youth? Because today, you see this, they walk around a lot of kids, even in high schools and whatnot, with their heads down because they're texting all day long. So how do you get children, whether it's preteens, teenagers, and in their early 20s, involved in embracing religion and embracing God?
Well, I think that it requires a great deal of effort, not only on the behalf of the church, but at home. We often here at our church have parents who come and they say, I'm looking for a program that, and what they're really going on to explain is that they're wanting to outsource the responsibility of parenting because they're too busy. And one of the reasons why kids are so disconnected in their own technologically fast-paced world is because the original social network that meets around the dinner table has broken down. Dad comes home at 8 p.m. after the kids have already done their homework and are getting ready for bed. The kids eat in front of the TV and mom drinks a shake because she's working out and doesn't want the extra calories. And, all of those things are fine, but the byproduct of them is that you have failed to have one of the most important moments of your day, and that is a moment of connection with every member of your household and your family. And so as a church, we encourage families, spend time together, sit down and stare at each other, turn off the television and ask simple questions like, how was your day? And just see what kind of a conversation unfolds. And as you talk about reaching teens, the best way to reach a teenager is get them while they're young, so that whenever they get to be teenagers and suddenly get the opportunity to know everything, they remember who you were way back when.
I like that. Get the opportunity to know everything. You remember when you were a teenager. I remember
absolutely.
When I was a teenager.
I was brilliant at 18, and I'm absolutely having to reinvent myself now that I'm past that age.
I understand. One of the things you say in your book is you say there isn't an area of life that doesn't require response. We're required to respond. We must respond politically. We can't afford to continue abusing the future generations of this nation for what seems to be popular and convenient today. What did you mean by that?
Pretty much exactly what it stated. we as a nation, and it really doesn't matter your age, we as a people in America have got to really face tough issues. One, you cannot change what you will not confront. And I believe, and then you can even notice this in the current political debates and campaigns that are taking place, there are certain candidates who feel like there are certain issues that you can't talk about. Well, we need to talk about it. And in doing so, we have to come to terms with who is going to sacrifice, because we cannot continue to exist as we do. We cannot continue to vote for a lifestyle that we cannot afford. There are several reasons why. One reason in particular is that we, at this point in this country, have more consumers than we do producers. It is a very simple fact that there were a lot more Americans born during the baby boom than there were during the baby bust. And in light of that issue, we have more people needing the assistance than are producing the assistance. So how do we address that? Do we continue to print money that makes us feel like we can keep going as we are? Or do we say, you know what, it was a great idea if all of the things we assumed would happen did, but it didn't play out that way, and we've got to make a change. If we don't come to terms with those tough issues, we're going to derail the train of this freedom-loving nation pretty quickly, and it needs to be something that we have the courage to address. We cannot afford to ignore it. Otherwise, our children and our grandchildren will not enjoy the quality of life we currently do.
Oh, I so agree with that. Speaking of the candidates in 2012, is there anybody that stands out to you yet at this point? Is there anybody that you like so far? Is it too early to call?
You know, I kind of like looking at it in terms of that Secretariat is currently a movie I'm totally loving. My kids enjoy it. Everybody gets real happy when we hear "Oh, Happy Day" at the end. And just like that particular legendary horse, every time he broke from the gate, he always fell to the rear. And yet he obviously won more races than he lost. The reality of our current political race is they've just broke out of the gate, and calling it right now would be a waste of time. I mean, I like a candidate by the minute, by the moment, by the speech, by the soundbite, by the tweet. I'm following a ton of them on Twitter right now just to see what their new bumper stickers are going to say next week. So I have to be careful before I commit to a bumper sticker.
Boy, no kidding. We just have a few moments left, but quickly, Palestinian statehood. How do you feel about that and our role with Israel?
You know, America is a democracy. Israel is a democracy. We have a great deal of common ground with that very brave nation in a very hostile area of the world. I believe that as allies with Israel, we owe them the support that they deserve. The UN this last week heard quite a bit of conversation about the desire for the Palestinian people to become a recognized state at the UN. The United Nations in and of itself has a very rigid procedure that you must go through before you can be recognized as a state. The Palestinian people have not yet accomplished those things, yet they are prematurely talking about it and doing so without the United States stepping up to say this is not the proper time for this conversation. And I believe that here in the West, as a democracy, we owe that to a democracy in the East. And if the Palestinian people wish to become a state and a nation, then they need to do that in the proper form, not as a matter of political opportunity or convenience.
Yeah, and we'll see how that all plays out, of course. Pastor, thanks so much for, you know how that is. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the book is called Responsible. Pastor Matt Hagee, we'd love to have you back on the show. Will you join us again sometime?
You know I will. I look forward to it, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, thanks, Pastor.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity
velocity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Doug Harrison. We're experts at getting you the power chair or scooter you need. In fact, if we qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-619-1414. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 1-800-619-1414. That's 1-800-619-1414.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
It's been called the fastest sport in the world, and it's popular in Florida. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nesquik. Try Nesquik 4-packs, perfect for lunches and great for kids on the go. Look for it in the juice aisle. Snack time is a great chance to sneak extra calcium into your child's diet without making him feel like he's eating something he doesn't want. Serve up dairy-rich foods like smoothies, flavored milk, frozen yogurt, and string cheese. He'll love the treat, and you'll love knowing how good it is for him. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
High lie has been dubbed as the fastest sport. That's because of the speed that the pelota, or ball, travels off an athlete's stick. That stick has a long curved basket on the end. So what is high lie? It's played on a court with three walls, the front, back, and left. If the ball lands anywhere else on the floor, it's considered out of bounds. The court's high to help with the path of the ball. It travels up to 180 miles an hour. High lie is played in a round-robin format, usually played with eight teams made up of two players, but could be played with single players, too. If there is a traditional team on the floor, the front court player serves to the second team. The winner of each point stays on the court to face the next team in the rotation. Losers have to wait for another turn. The first team to score 7 points wins. The sport's very popular in Orlando and Miami, with the ability for fans to bet on high life, which is part of the lore. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Shattering the box office. Week two. Straight weekend in a row. $22.1 million was the haul this time around. Chasing off Brad Pitt with Moneyball, which, by the way, I went to see Moneyball, and I liked it. Of course, who doesn't like The Lion King? Each and every week, we talk to Stephen Shohet, our man in Hollywood. He joins us now. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, doing great. How are you?
The Lion King, like I said, how can you not like The Lion King, even if you're not a kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's the most successful two-dimensional animated film ever, but some people didn't like it as a project when it was first happening. It came about Jeffrey Katzenberg, after a couple of successes, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, reinvigorated Disney animation, was flying in a private plane, and he mentioned to some people, he was the vice president of Disney at the time, that he wanted to do a coming-of-age story, and he was affected personally. He was part of the John Lindsay presidential campaign in 1972, had received some cash from a contributor who wanted some political favors, and he had been indicted, and though he wasn't charged with anything, or he wasn't convicted of any crime or anything like that, he felt that it was a loss of innocence for him, and that was the story he wanted to get across, but he said, let's set it in Africa and have some animals, and that's what grew into The Lion King.
Yeah, animosity that seems to still trail, Michael Eisner as a result of this. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it was after The Lion King was an enormous success, which they really didn't expect at Disney. I mean, the funny thing was most of the great animators, but the animators with the big reputations at Disney all wanted to work on Pocahontas because they thought that was going to be the big hit. And they thought, you know, Elton John, he's great, but he never wrote a musical before. This thing's not going to be that big of a deal. So they sort of had the B team work on The Lion King, but there were a lot of artists who wanted to prove themselves on it, and they were fired up. And Katzenberg was in on every meeting, or at least several of the meetings, and offered quite a bit of suggestions. One of the suggestions that he offered was that the song Circle of Life shouldn't be in the movie, or at least it was I'm sorry, not Circle of Life. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Mm-hmm. Well, it shouldn't be in the movie, and at least not at the time that it was in there, because the character of Simba had not earned the love yet of the character of Nyla, and Elton John just had a fit, and Katzenberg was let himself be overridden by Elton John. Anyway, right during that time, when The Lion King came out to enormous reviews and acclaim, Michael Eisner had a heart bypass surgery, and he was recovering in the hospital. And there was a Wall Street Journal interview where Katzenberg was basically asked, who is responsible for turning Disney into this empire? And Katzenberg basically said, it is I. And Eisner almost had a relapse reading that. And later on, Katzenberg wanted to be promoted from vice president to president, and Eisner basically told him, you've gone as far as you can in this company, and told him that we will be no longer using your services, and that led to a not only the forming of the DreamWorks company, but a gigantic lawsuit where Katzenberg ended up getting compensated in the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, boy, I remember that. That was mudslinging all over the place. It seemed like for years that dragged on, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did, and people were trying to settle it all the time, and there were, you know, things in court like Eisner supposedly called Katzenberg the little midget, and then he told Katzenberg's lawyer, "Don't repeat that. Don't go there." To this day, I don't think Katzenberg was generally a more liked man in Hollywood than Eisner, and both of them were really responsible for turning Disney around. You know, that's one thing, is that executives obviously are going to get put in a different category in people's minds than creative people, but they had to be creative too, or at least sign off on creativity, and that's one thing those two guys constantly did, but obviously to a certain level they both wanted credit for it, and probably, I mean, Katzenberg was such a hands-on guy. He worked 7 days a week, made like 200 phone calls calls a day. There's a story about him that he was driving on Pacific Coast Highway once, and he rear-ended another car. And when the police came, the other driver said, "Thank goodness you're here. I mean, I haven't been able to get this guy out of the car and off the cell phone yet." So he was just a total workaholic, and I think he still has that. And it was one of the reasons why Eisner hired him, but Eisner's certainly a hardworking man as well, and the results of The Lion King, phenomenal.
Yeah, no kidding about that. The whole 3D phenomenon, before we jumped on the air, Matt Johnson, my producer, and I were talking, and he was saying, you know, did you hear the news about Top Gun? They're going to re-release that in 3D. Is it now a matter of, boy, they can make money on this. They can go back into the vault and pick out some of these flicks and redo them in 3D and see what happens. Do you think we're going to see more of that?
Absolutely. I think The Lion King is, The Lion King has inspired that. And I think Hollywood, I think we've talked about this before, is in a bad situation. I mean, you drive around Beverly Hills, which is really the heart of the movie business where most of the agencies are. I could tell you, I've never seen so many places for lease. They're making less movies. They're selling less DVDs. So obviously they're trying to figure out ways to monetize. And I think 3D is one possible way. Now, the problem that you have is that movie theaters still have a limited amount of 3D halls, and just like when the talking movies came along, who is going to pay to convert these theaters to more 3D capability? Who's going to pay for it? The theater owner or the movie studio? Katzenberg certainly is a major proponent of 3D and thinks it's the only way right now to bring people out of their homes and into the movie theaters, and classic movies might be the way to do it. And I think The Lion King has definitely inspired that. I mean, I think you're going to see more and more of that, especially because when you do something like that, I mean, The Lion King was so profitable for Disney. It's one of the most profitable movies ever made because you don't have to pay the principal actors and any mm-hmm. type of residuals. Now with Top Gun, it might be a little bit different with Tom Cruise. It'll be very interesting to see how other movies done. I think it'll be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, we only have a couple of minutes left, but speaking of residuals, Charlie Sheen, in the $100 million lawsuit, apparently Warner Brothers settles with him. He gets $25 million. And then Ashton Kutcher debuts in 2.5 Men, and they have astronomical ratings. So who wins in this, Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like everybody wins. Really, I mean, it sounds like they're all doing well. I'll tell you, it's hard to say what will happen. I mean, obviously, it was a great curiosity factor built up with Ashton Kutcher, but you go online and you read, like the comments that people are making, and I would say it's more pro-Charlie, less pro-Ashton at this point. So who knows if the ratings will continue or if people will want to watch as much as they did before. But the point is that Warner Brothers and the talent agencies, they're going to get that ninth season and maybe a tenth season. And that just makes the thing boom in syndication. So I'm sure Charlie Sheen is happy about that too, that he'll be getting long-term residuals. And maybe he'll take his house off the market.
There you go. Stephen Shohat, the book is called Pick It Up. He is the ultimate Hollywood storyteller, and the book is Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies.
That's right, yeah, and the website's hollywoodstories.com.
Great, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Thanks, Stephen. Always good stuff with him because he has the scoop behind all of the infighting and all the things that are going down today in Hollywood and what's happened in the past with the movie studios and whatnot. Interesting about Top Gun in 3D. Would you go and see Top Gun in 3D? Of course I would go. I for sure would go. I don't know about the rest of you. There's a lot of movies I wouldn't want to see in 3D, but that definitely is one of them. All right, coming up next, my friend, Pharmacist Ben, with the skinny on how you can get skinny.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Why don't we Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Tonight we've been talking with my pal pharmacist Ben for weeks, and it's working. That's the key thing, because like many of you, I like to call it the pooch, the pouch, whatever it is. I played too much poker and ate too much pizza, so now the party's over and I had to find a solution. I met Ben, we started to talk. I was carrying around my Beyond Tangy Tangerine that he recommended, and I'll tell you what, there has been a massive turn in my life in the last really 5 weeks probably. And he told me about something else before we came on the air. He said, you know, I said, what do? You get cravings. And he said a crazy thing to me. Well, make some salt water. Salt water? Thinking, I'm from Jersey. You mean, have my mom send me salt? What were you talking about, salt water? So flushing this out a little bit more is Celtic sea salt in water with some coconut oil. And magically, of course, I did have that stuff because I've been using the salt and whatnot and the oil on vegetables, and it works because it satisfies me. I mean, that's the key thing. So I tried this crazy concoction, no joke, a couple of hours ago, and it was terrific. I couldn't even get all the way through my dinner, which was a healthy dinner anyway, but I was stuffed. I was full. So there's the answer to the crazy cravings. If you're sitting there watching the Monday Night Football game like you will next week, or the Sunday games, and You know, you're just trying to figure out ways like, man, I don't want to go for the dominoes. I got to do something about this. Go for the crazy Celtic sea salt concoction. Guys, because it works. All right, so he's putting down his own form of whatever crazy cocktail he's drinking right now in our virtual green room. Pharmacist Ben, it's true. I tried that. It sounded cockamamie to me. It did sound great, crazy, but it tasted good.
Well, a couple things. First of all, you have to be motivated, because if you want the Domino's pizza, you're going to go for the Domino's pizza. But for those of us who know we don't want the Domino's pizza, but we just can't, you know, there's this pull. There's this kind of pull towards going for the Domino's pizza, and you don't want it. You're pulling. I hate willpower. I've said that many times before. So what you want to do is you want to outsmart your brain. And let me tell you what oil and salt does. If you stuck a little voltage meter in that little concoction, that crazy concoction, oil and salt together are highly electrical. So if you stick a voltage meter in there, you'd actually see that you were generating a voltage, an electrical current in that little drink. So you were, in essence, drinking electrical energy. And that's how the body senses when it's satisfied and when it's not satisfied, is via electrical energy. When the electrical energy is off, you go and crave food. So what you're doing is you're hitting your button, your brain and your body's electrical switch, on-off switch, basically, by drinking that crazy concoction. It's like closing a circuit or creating a circuit inside your body. When that circuit is closed, you get a current that's generated, and your brain says, happy. When you eat calories without the salt and without the oil, you're not satisfied. Or if you eat the wrong kind of minerals and the wrong kind of salt, the wrong kind of oil, again, you're not satisfied. So the trick is to hit your satiety button, hit your satisfaction button with this crazy concoction, which is nothing more than electrical energy, than a voltage of current.
Yeah, and you keep talking about satiety button, and that's it. Like you said, I agree with you. Forget the whole willpower thing, because I don't think that works. You fight with yourself. I mean, guys do it just as much as women, because you're going back and forth. I mean, really, I don't think I've ever met a man, or certainly women, that think you can never be too rich or too thin. But men think the same thing. I mean, no man, I'm sorry, none of you guys want to really walk around with a pooch. You don't want to be playing golf and trying to be swinging around a beer belly.
Katie, it's worse than that. Let me tell you why. You ready for this? This is the horror of it all, okay? Female hormone is produced in body fat. So when a man is carrying around a pooch, not only does he become more feminized, not only does he become wimpier, but his, if you know what I'm saying, the parts of his body that are supposed to work, they don't work. And even worse, your libido and your sex drive drops as well. So you become feminized, you become, you lose your sexual drive, you lose your ability to build muscle, you become a woman. I call it the Santa Claus effect. And what happens when a man gets older? He gets jolly and fat, he sits on a couch, and he loses his edge. That's the main reason for a man why you want to drop that body fat. That's the main reason. You won't need the Viagra. You won't need to worry about whether you can get it up. You won't have to worry about building muscle mass. You won't have to worry about getting fat, because fat is actually an endocrine gland. It's a gland that produces hormones. Our body fat is hormonal in the sense that fat cells make hormones, and they especially make female hormones, feminizing hormones. And if you think you're a woman and you say, I'm going to be more feminine by having more body fat, in a way, you're right. It turns out that women who carry a little bit of body fat have easier time with perimenopause and menopause and postmenopause if they do it correctly, and they retain their youthful look a little bit longer when they have a little bit of body fat. Now, too much can be a problem, because estrogen can cause all kinds of problems, but just a little bit of body fat is important for a woman, and as keeping that body fat down is important for a man in terms of masculinization and feminization. So well, that's good enough reason to try to lose a little bit of that beer belly. I don't know what else. If that ain't a good reason, I don't know what is.
I agree with you. Don't want to lose that edge. There's no reason to. I agree.
That's right.
You don't want to lose that. Now, a lot of guys like soups, I fall into that category too. A lot of people like soups, just in general. It's not a gender-specific thing. And soup is good because, again, with broth and whatnot, it fills you up, right? Soup will help you.
Beyond good. It's manna from heaven. It's the ultimate kind of food, the ultimate power food you could possibly ingest, because it meets it's a classic, iconic food that meets your condition for calorie restriction with adequate nutrition, because the bulk of it is liquid, it's water. So what you're getting is basically a highly charged, nutriated water with a soup. And there's two main kinds of soup. you've got a vegetable soup, a vegetable-based soup, or a grain-based soup, and that's going to contain all of the nutrients in easy-to-absorb form in the liquid. You should be doing as much of it as possible. You don't want to overheat is the only problem. And then the second kind of soup, which is equally important but in a slightly different way, is bone soup, where you take the bone from turkey or from beef or, you know, after Thanksgiving, you got all those bones. You soak them in water. You let it simmer, and you let the meat fall off the bone. You can do it with a whole turkey, by the way, or whole chicken once you cook it. And you use spices and you use oil. If you do beef, if you do chicken bones, you make sure you get the cartilage part and all the nutrients that come out of that cartilage and all the nutrients that come out of that bone. Number one, they supercharge. I mean, supercharge your immune system. They supercharge your connective tissue growth processes. And they're a powerfully important a source of nutrients for skin health, for moisturization of the skin, for anti-aging of the skin. So you've got, and they're anti-inflammatory as well. So you've got every single health need met by eating bone soup. And if you throw the vegetables in there, you get all the nutrients from the vegetables as well. And let me tell you something, Katie, you have not, I'm sure you tasted it, but when you do chicken soup like that, when you do a real chicken soup with real chicken and real bones and veggies and onions and spices and oil, there ain't nothing in the world more delicious than that. And you can put that in the fridge and you can drink it all week. You can make a big vat of it. You can drink it all week long. You put it in the freezer and you can freeze it and then you can thaw it out when you want to do it. It's so filling, so satisfying. You thaw your hot buttons. It's so tasty, ridiculously tasty. You can live on it. Especially
yeah, there. Yeah, there you go. That's some great advice, certainly to do that. Is this the time of year when it's, I think this is the time of year when I would think in a way it'd be easier for people to lose weight or to get on track or do the things they're trying to do. And I think the stuff that we're, some of the formulas that you're giving are so easy if you just follow them. But is this a tougher time or an easier time to try
tougher.
To?
I think tougher. I'll tell you why. The things are starting to slow down and it's not as important that you look good in your bikini. So this is when people start, not quite yet, towards October, people start to, you know, it's the holiday season, I can start to kick back a little bit, I'll take care of everything in January. That sort of attitude kicks in, and when you don't need to be running around your bikini or your bathing suit or your shorts as much, there's less of an incentive. Remember our seafood diet? Did we talk about the mirror diet? Did you and I talk about that? I know we talked about it in person or on the phone. Did we talk about it on the air?
No. Give us the cliff notes.
The best diet in the world, right? You remember what I'm talking about, right? This is the diet guaranteed to have anybody lose weight. And I love this diet because you can eat anything you want to eat, whatever. You can eat anything you want to eat, but one condition. You got to do it naked in the mirror. And that will take care of that extra fry. Guaranteed you won't be eating that extra potato chip. Now, of course, I'm teasing, but the point is that if you have to look at the results of that pizza, that extra slice of pizza, that is a major disincentive. If we don't have to look at the results, that's when we get into trouble. So what happens is this time of year, we don't have to look at ourselves as much, or we don't have to make up appearances.
Right. So keep that in mind with what Pharmacist Ben is telling you. Also, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine just works like a charm. I say it all the time, and I've had many of you ask me, now, what is the place? How can I get the product? It's easy. Go to AmericaTonightTeam.com, AmericaTonightTeam.com. Hey, we're almost out of time. I can't wait to find out what we're going to talk about next week.
I can't wait to talk to you, Paula. Have a beautiful week. It's always a pleasure. Fellow sports fans.
Exactly. I can think of a few few of my sports idols that could go on this bone soup deal. I mean, all of us could use bone soup. Hey, thanks, Pharmacist Ben.
Thank you so much.